of those who will stand for the word of God, coming from Acts, right after the Gospels, chapter 10, verses 42 through 43, Acts chapter 10, verses 42 through 43. And as you get there, you find these words on record. It says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." I was given a theme for this afternoon: a pastor overcoming barriers to spread the gospel. All right. A pastor overcoming barriers to spread the gospel. You may be seated. Amen. As always, it's a blessing to be here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but when I come to St. John, every time I come here, it feels like heaven. Amen. I don't know what heaven feels like, but when I come here, it feels like heaven.
All right.
Now, most churches have a problem of too little space, but St. John have a problem of too much space.
Well.
Some problems are nice. Amen. And when I looked at the theme, it hit deep down. So much so that I felt it in my bones. Because there was a time that folk came to church by default. No question about it. Folk came to praise God. Didn't have to beg nobody. Didn't have to place a guilt trip. And folk didn't think that by coming to church, they was doing God a favor. Instead, they knew the importance of having Christ in their lives. See, the church was a place that, like the book of Acts, where God's people came together and they fought discrimination, fought racism, fought segregation, and other sorts of evil. We understood as a whole, long as we had God, then we have a chance. I want somebody to know, despite what's going on, long as you have God, then you have a chance. But as time went on, we got more educated. We got more professional. The Lord blessed us with better jobs, better homes, and bigger bank accounts. He blessed us so much that we forgot about the giver. We forgot about the blesser and fell in love with his gifts and in love with his blessings. And lost in the sauce was passing down the word and the goodness of God to the coming generations. Instead of giving God glory, we took God's glory. Instead of making it known that God made a way, and that God gave us mercy, that God gave us favor, that the reverend, the pastor just saying that God smiled on us. We took the approach that we did it ourselves. And the problem with that is, on the front end, we say we need more youth and we need young people. But how can that be expected when Christ's not in the home? See, we say we love Jesus and our Rosa Sharon and all the good stuff, but that's what we say. But our lives say another.
Well,
now, I'm not the perfect dad. And I've made mistakes. But I can say this. They know the Lord is real. Ain't no secret agent convenient Christian right here. They know who brought me over. They know who made a way. They know who opened doors. And I let all three know that the same God who comes through for me, the same God who blesses me, the same God who orders my steps, is the same God who will do it for them, and the same God who will do it for you. It's the same God. But you got to stay faithful. I say that to say this. A culmination of reasons down through the years has indirectly made it hard on the pastor. See, we see pastors online, and they want to be famous instead of making Jesus famous. And they'll do anything, and they'll say anything, not for the unsaved, not for the lost, but for a viral moment. Never thinking once the folk they leading astray. And people see this stuff. And they see our churches cutting up online. And they mistake that church for all other churches. And we wonder why it's hard to bring people in. And if that's not enough, the same Bible and the same word that got you over, got me over, that got billions over, they call hate speech. In the environment of today, preaching God's word and the standard that he set about family, marriage, and even abortion will get you canceled. It's getting quiet in here. You know times is hard. When the preacher gets canceled for preaching God's truth.
Well.
But again, in the climate of today, only the strong survive.
Strong, all right.
Because see, your average pastor cannot raise a family by his church's compensation. The average pastor, in order to stay afloat, he better have a second job. So with this gumbo mixture of new developments and social dynamics, instead of the church looking for ways to be creative and ways to overcome, we stuck in tradition. Even the enemy himself has become more creative, conjuring up new tricks and traps and schemes abroad to destroy God's people. And here we are, doing the same old thing, looking for an increase. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, he says, come and follow me, and I will send you out, not in, but out to fish for the people. Translation, church. The days of people coming and just showing up has been long gone. It's not just the pastor, but the entire church is responsible for doing its part to bring people in. The church is responsible, especially the leadership, to lighten the pastor's burden any way that you can. You don't add to his plate. His plate is full enough. The pastor is responsible and accountable to God to nurture the sheep with spiritual food, spiritual growth, direction of the church based on the word. So challenging as it is, being responsible for others, if the church doesn't support, if the church doesn't give, If the church rejects change and fighting from within, how can we expect new seed to grow? Empower your pastor. And that's for everybody here, regardless of what church you go. Empower your pastor with the tools, the resources, and whatever support he needs to get the job done. Now, in Acts chapter 10, the highlight encompasses Cornelius the centurion. He was a Gentile soldier who later came to Christ. And after a multitude of events, including Peter in a trance, seeing wild animals and being chastised, and he thought he was doing good. But God said, "Don't call unclean what I've made clean." But the bottom line is, what's encouraging to us is, despite what's going on in the political realm, the cultural realm, and the social realm, there are still folk today that wants the word of God. Amen. Yes, amen. Despite the hoopla and the social buffoonery, there are still folk today that still love the word, still want the word, believe in the blood, believe in the power that can change anybody that wants to be changed. And because that exists, do my best to preach the word in season and out of season about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Cornelius the centurion, that he yearned for the word. So much so that he sent men out to go and find Peter. Watch this now. They didn't know where Peter lived, but they sure found out. And see, lost in tradition and all this gatekeeping and cliques is still being obedient. See, the Roman centurion was a man of authority. The pastor of a church and the pastor of this church is a man of authority. They didn't know where Peter lived, but they sure found out.
Well,
the point being conveyed is, when pastor give directions and pastor give instructions, you give it your best to complete that task. God didn't tell us to agree. You're not going to agree with everything. But God told us to obey. It's getting quiet in here. And because they obeyed, gave it their all, they still found the apostle without GPS. You doing your best and everything that you can to help Pastor Brooks succeed? Peter said to the men, "Why have you come? I don't know y'all. Why y'all come looking for me?" The Bible says the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous man and a God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to come, ask for you to his house so that they could hear what you have to say." And he's talking about the word of God. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. And the rest is history. Church, I'm going somewhere. Unbeknown to Peter, the word got out about his reputation. The word got out how he walked with Jesus. And even though he fell down and he denied him 3 times, the Lord restored him 3 times and he got back on track. So anybody here that's down and going through something, I want to let you know, if you hold on to his hand and you trust in his word, if you stand on that foundation, you can get back on track. When I'm saying to Pastor Brooks and any other preachers here, just preach the word in season and out of season, because you never know who God sent to hear it. You never know who seeks to be saved. Peter then asked Cornelius, after being brought to him, he said, "Why'd you send for me?" This is what Cornelius said. He said, 3 days ago, I was in my house, and I was praying at this hour. At 3 in the afternoon, suddenly a man in shining clothes, he stood before me, and he said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. I want you to know that we serve a God who remembers what you do.
Yeah.
He says, send to Joppa for Simon, who was also called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. He says, so I sent for you, Peter, immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you, the preacher, to tell us. So, church, I want you to understand that playtime is over. Benefits about to be cut. Government shut down this, that, and this. I want you to know that playtime is over. So either you about the Lord's business or exit altogether. But for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Now, nothing is wrong with raising money. We need money to survive. Nothing wrong with ministers' conferences and all that stuff. But above all of that is reaching lost souls and reaching these kids. Give Pastor a hand the way working with these kids. First Lady, too, give them a hand the way they're working with these kids. And think about it for a minute. We're raising all this money and all these churches, all these different meetings. But last time I looked, gang violence, drug use, abuse of women, and all this other stuff has gotten worse by the day. Got all these preachers, all these churches, all these Christians, all these conferences, yet the community is still broken. So what that means, as the Bible says, that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. See, everybody frontline, everybody want to be seen, smiling, taking pictures. But on the back end, the laborers are few. Good to come to church, good to fellowship together. But what we must understand is that the real work of God is from Monday through Saturday outside the church. It's how we live life and how we represent the kingdom and treat one another, the way we act at the job. Because the way some of us act, they wouldn't know that we're Christian unless we told them. It's getting quiet in here. See, we've become so focused on all this external stuff. No heavenly value. That we've lost our first love. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if you're aware, but 3,700 to 15,000 U.S. churches close every year. So if you want to stay in business, if you want to remain a candlestick, you better try some new things. You better be creative. And accept gradual change. Like the use of technology. There was a time they didn't have all these fine monitors in here, but they got them now. Because they understand the times. And you have a pastor. Not only technically sound, but he loves the congregation. You can't pastor a church if you don't love the people. Both he and Reverend Burke have a heart for the people and a heart made of gold. So don't get in front of your pastor. It's not your place. Get behind your pastor. God's place is in the front. Because if you get in the front, that means you in the way. But if God is in the front, that means he is leading the way. He gets his vision from God. We get our vision from God. The vision from God becomes the church's vision, whether you like it or not. And for those in objection, ask yourself this question. What vision that came from God that was ever a bad vision? I'll wait. I didn't say that you liked the vision. I said that the vision was bad. So, I get it. The problem is not the vision. The problem is, in order to bring the vision to life, that means folk got to work. Not talking St. John, but churches in general. See, folk will complain and start confusion. They like to gossip and make excuses. But when it's time to work, when it's time to work, when it's time to roll up the sleeve, when it's time to give some time and some energy, they can't be found. Before God struck Miriam with leprosy, he made this declaration. He said, I talked to my prophet. I talked to my pastor. He said, I talked to Moses face to face. In other words, the plan for this church goes to Pastor Brooks first. Because see, you could have a pastor that drives the church in the ground.
Well,
and I want you to know, in case you forgot, you have a pastor that all throughout COVID, he kept the church doors open. Even service on the outside. He did what he could. Because that's all we can do is do what we can and hand the rest over to God. But he did what he could. New technology, new programs, new community initiatives, new innovations in here in the Child Educational Center. You have a pastor that since he was appointed has worked day in and worked day out. He lives St. John, breathes St. John, sleeps St. John. St. John is in his blood. So be thankful for him, grateful for him, thank God for him. Because a lot of goats exist. Camouflage as shepherds. But if given opportunity, they'll destroy everything. So I see that y'all hungry. So I'm going to leave you with this. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. Love your pastor. Appreciate your pastor. Support your pastor. Encourage your pastor. Work with your pastor. Go hard for your pastor. I'm going to bring this up real quick because it's in line with the word and no pun intended. But I've been called Raymond, Rhino, I've been called all kind of stuff. So I don't know what the pastor called me, but I heard my choir saying, his name Rolling. My point is, if we humble ourselves, God will fight your battle. Participate with your pastor. Give to your pastor. And follow your pastor as he follows God. Thank you so much for the opportunity.